Amen. You can be seated. Let's jump in. While you're giving, let's jump in. This morning we start a series called Living Your Best Life. Living Your Best Life. How many want to live an amazing life? John 10:10 says that the evil one comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life, abundant life. And we want that for you as well. And we want to come alongside and help you live your best life. And this morning, I'm going to attempt to talk about the idea that I belong here. I belong here. I was thinking about the song this morning that we were singing, that he's in the waiting. That he's in the waiting. And I really resonate with that song, because how many of you here have been waiting for a promise from God to come to pass? If you haven't, then you're amazing that you've had all of your promises from God fulfilled. Because I've got so many that I haven't yet seen fulfilled prophetically. 17 years ago, when we walked through the doors of this building and we said yes to coming to San Diego, there were moments when I thought, my God in heaven, why have you sent us to this forsaken place? I mean, it was rough. It was brutal at times. But for 17 years, we've been waiting for the manifestation of the promise of God, that revival and reformation is coming to San Diego. 17 years. We're on the precipice, I believe, of God moving the likes of which we've never experienced before. I really believe this. In past great moves of God, when the Father began to move throughout regions and cities, excuse me, what happened in the midst of revival movements, got the thing of Chris Gore from last week. In the midst of the move of God, you know what happens in a real true move of God? The church of Jesus Christ gets cleansed. You can't stay inside, or you can't stay in the confines of a congregation or a church or a movement that's on fire for the things of God. You cannot stay in it if you're lukewarm. And God begins to convict. He begins to speak truth. He begins to show us things in our lives that need to be removed. He begins to cause us to line up with his purposes and plan. And we have a choice in the midst of that. With this next move of God's glory, this next wave, I believe, has already started to move. The thought occurred to me is, what is it that might cause us or you to reject his movement on from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the West Coast to the East Coast, North, South, East, West? What is it that potentially could hijack a move of God in your own personal life? Politics? Will that be our divide? Will the homosexual issue, the transgender issue, the Muslim issue, and the list can go on. Will something like that be the thing that hijacks the promises of God being fulfilled in your life? Not seeing your miracle happen. Looking and thinking there's excesses in the church. I don't want to go to church anymore. Ah, 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 ah. And I don't know what the future looks like, but I'll tell you this. What is it that will keep us safe? What is it that will help us stay the course? What is it that will help us as family continue to do what God's called us to do? And I believe you'll find it in what I just mentioned a moment ago, and that you'll find it in family. You'll find it in finding a place to belong. You'll find it when you begin to gather with people that are like-minded, not like you, but have a like-minded heart for the things of Jesus. This morning, for the next few moments, I'd like to talk about this idea of I belong. Because I believe that what the future holds is going to require not a passive relationship with the church, and I'm not speaking organized institutional church, I'm talking about you as sons and daughters. What's going to help us navigate what's coming to the Church of America is going to come through relationship and looking at one another as family. Not through our organized meetings, not through a building, not through this and that, it's going to come through doing family together. I story I read recently goes like this. It said that during the Second World War, some soldiers were serving in France. And they wanted to bury a friend of theirs that had passed away and was killed in the midst of gunfire. Being in a foreign country, they wanted to ensure their fallen comrade had a proper burial. They found a well-kept cemetery with a low stone wall all around it, a picturesque little Catholic church, and a peaceful outlook. This was just the place to bury their friend. But when they approached the priest, he answered that unless their friend was baptized Catholic, he could not be buried in the cemetery. He wasn't. Sensing the soldiers' disappointment, the priest showed them a spot outside the walls where they could bury their friend. Reluctantly, they did so. The next day, the soldiers returned to pay their final respects to their fallen friend, but could not find the grave. "Surely we can't be mistaken. He was right here," they said. Confused, they approached the priest, who took them to a spot inside the cemetery walls. "Last night I couldn't sleep," said the priest. "I was troubled that your friend had to be buried outside the cemetery walls, so I got up and moved the fence." I believe it's time that we move the fence of those that are dying outside the walls of a church building. There needs to be a reconstruct of how we view those that surround us every day and move from the borders of our building so that no one is excluded because they're outside the walls of our well-constructed Christianity. I guess you could say we truly need to be a church without walls. I'm not going to do an in-depth analysis on the church of today, but I am going to speak to my very best ability to living your best life. I belong in this place here. More specifically, I belong, and in this context of this message, I belong in the Crosspoint family. The church, next slide, the church should be a place of refuge to be known, loved, and cared for, like a family knit together by love, not by position, title, or rank. It may take time, but creating a place to belong and live your best life is worth the sacrifice. The problem with most American churches is we're not willing to sacrifice enough to stay in a family, because the moment there begins to be any kind of conflict inside the walls of a building, we tend to run from that conflict and go find another family. The problem with that mindset is we have a lot of families like the American family with divorce and the brokenness of family. We have a lot of churches in America that are filled with people that don't know how to step into a family and stay family and war for family and love like family. We reflect a great deal of the brokenness of the family unit in America. But the church should never look like that. If anything, we as the ecclesia, the church of Jesus Christ, ought to set the standard for what that looks like so that the world around us begins to say, what is it you do that we can't do outside? How can we better our marriages? How can we better our families? We heard a message this past week at the, what was it called? California Renewal. Some amazing preaching. But one of the things I heard from an African-American pastor, he said the problem in America, for the most part, that we have is fatherlessness. That's a whole message within itself, but I can tell you something, that when you have a healthy mom and dad in a family, that family has the potential to change the very culture in which it lives. California Renewal Project. It's fantastic. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, you've heard the passage, but I want to launch from here. It says, "And I will say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." That word church, we know if you haven't heard it, but I'm going to say it to you again. Repetition breeds retention. We don't need just more information. We need to apply what we know. That word church is ekklesia. Say it with me, ekklesia. ekklesia. It's a great word. Jesus said, I will build my ekklesia, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. It's my premise this morning that the evil one has done a pretty good job of working against the church, the ekklesia, in Western culture. Never before in the history of our nation have we seen bigger churches. We've seen churches right now that are running 60 and 70,000 people. We've got churches in San Diego that are very large. But I want to suggest to you something this morning that's not about the size of a congregation. It's not about the size of the building. It's not about the size of a man. But it's about the size of our God that we serve. And you've got to understand this morning. That he's not looking for towers of Babel just to build a church and construct them big and wide and massive for the sake of power and prestige. He's called us out as the ecclesia to transform the world, to bring revival and to bring reformation. He's called us out to leave a building like this, a wonderful building that we have, where we don't have debt per se over a building, so we can do things for God outside the walls. But he's called us to leave this place, be family to a generation, and believe that God's called us to sacrifice in such a way that we can show the world what true family looks like and what the church really should look like. I used to hear it said that in the church culture context, coming to church, going to church, they had to believe, you could then belong, and then you would behave. The problem with that is this, is that we expect people to believe like we believe and begin to behave like we behave before they've ever belonged. The idea behind living your best life, I belong here, simply says and is stated that in order for anybody outside this wall, and even you this morning, to come, maybe first time, maybe you've been a few times, but if we're going to build something that moves forward into the future that really makes a difference in culture, La Mesa, East County, California, which I believe we can, it's going to require an understanding that you may belong long before you believe. We used to have in the back row of this balcony, when I first arrived, two or three rows of what they were affectionately called bus kids. I hate the word, the phrase, but that's what they were called. They would come in the building, expected to sit for 2 hours in a service, and behave because they're in a church building. We were so wrong in the way we approached those kids. I'm grateful we had a bus ministry, but track with me for a moment as I try to relate and unpackage this thought. They were treated like they were mature, expected to be mature children that had been in church all their lives. But these kids were coming from broken homes. They were coming from School Ridge, just down the street. They were coming from places where they were running free at 8, 9, 10, 12 years of age. We bus them in and expect them to believe what we believe and behave the way we know to behave. And expect them to accept our welcoming them in. It's no different today with adults. We want people to behave properly in the house of the Lord. We want people to act like we act as mature adults. But I want to suggest something to you this morning. We need to belong, behave, and then believe. To live our best life requires moving the walls of our care and love for others. Not to judge based on behavior, but to welcome people into our lives until they see the Jesus we say we love. We have created an environment in the church culture where everyone that walks through the doors must believe and then begin to behave like us mature ones. Please hear my heart this morning. If you're a fairly new believer, don't change from being passionate for the things of God. Don't change because you think you've got to act a certain way. Like you've got to watch, you know, whoever. I was going to point somebody out, but I won't. You've got to watch the way they behave in church and become like them. No, please be you. The revival that we're dreaming for means that people will end up walking into our groups of gatherings throughout San Diego with no idea of how to believe. They're looking for a place to belong. Inside your home, inside a building, they're looking for a place where they can find the person of Jesus. And if we expect them to live their best life according to the person of Jesus, they've got to know they belong before they behave. And when they begin to belong as a part of our family, they'll begin to believe what we believe and begin to live for the person of Jesus and begin to understand why we do what we do, why we pray for healing, why we believe in signs and wonders, why we believe in the miraculous. They'll begin to believe what we believe simply because we've learned to love them well. I read this by A.W. Tozer recently. Next slide. It said 100 religious persons knit into a unity by careful organization do not constitute a church any more than 11 dead men make a football team. The first requisite is life, always. We come together as family. The life of the Father needs to be the first and foremost thing that we demonstrate to a lost and dying world. I don't care if we have 25 or 2,500 people. When we gather, as long as I lead this congregation as your father, I can tell you this, we will never move away from the person of Jesus and praying for the life of the Father to be released in your life. Never. We will not begin to do things because a denomination or an organization or this group or that group tells us you need to do this to become a better church. I say the better church is found in you, the believer, becoming everything that God destined you to become. And when you do that, I promise you, you will not find a seat in this building. Because it's not about the building, it's about you demonstrating the goodness of God and living well for the Father. We need one another. Life is not found ever in isolation. It's built in family, in being together. See, belonging to a family is more than being accepted for what they can bring to the team. Well, you know, I'm a prophet and I need to belong. That's wonderful. Praise God, you're a prophet. Not a prophet in this house. We don't know you. Get to know my family and you can prophesy all you want to. Prophet such and such. Well, you know, I've got a PhD in this and that. That's fantastic. Come on on. Come on in. Get to know my family. Belonging is dedicating oneself to loving the one well and building family no matter how difficult, time-consuming, or intangible it seems. What we're doing here is hard work. What we're doing is constructing something, honestly, is not being done. It's being done very few places that I know of. See, what are we building? We're building something based on family. We're building something not based on church growth tools. We're not building something that tries to make us big. We're trying to say the church, the ecclesia, is church gathered, it's church scattered. When we gather, we're going to gather well. But when we commission you and you leave the building, recognize that you belong to a family and that family supports you wherever you go outside the walls of the building. But it takes work. No, it's difficult. There's lots of disappointment. How many of parents know there's times when your kids make decisions, they're not exactly the kind of decision that you would like for them to make. There's a bit of disappointment in that decision process that they've made. But you have to empower them to make their own choices. My responsibility as the leader of a family like this is not to tell you how to live your life. That's not my role. I'm not up here to tell you. I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm here to preach Jesus. I'm here to tell you that the ecclesia, you, can make a difference in the world. I'm here to tell you that together we can do all things, anything that God tells us to do. But I'm not here to tell you, and if it's sin, I'll preach against sin. But what I'm talking about is more how you live your life day to day. If there's no police going to show up at your door and go, what's wrong with you? Why are you living like this? I pray the Holy Spirit would convict you to no end. I pray in the season that God's moving right now that the holiness of God would begin to rest on your family, to rest in your homes, that you begin to live like you've never lived before. Not out of rules and regulations that Papa's taught us, but live out of the Word of God. Fall in love with Jesus because of His Word. building one another up in a holy faith. Churches should not be places of wounding. They should facilitate healing, demonstrate love, and practice the art of being family. I belong here because I love family. I'm living my best life right now because of this family. I'm doing what I know I'm supposed to do in my sweet spot, and I'm still growing in that because of this family. We need one another because we said it before, life is not found in isolation, but it's found in being family and being together. Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. An isolated Christian is a powerless Christian. I'll say it again. An isolated Christian, a solitary Christian, is a powerless Christian. It's virtually impossible to live with purpose and passion when you live outside the boundaries of family and friends. When I think of Crosspoint Life, I can truly say to you this morning that I am living my best life and I belong here. And here's some of the reasons why. I love the non-random text I receive from my staff and friends in this family just simply saying, I love you and I'm thinking of you today. That's what family does. Whether my daughter likes it or not, I'll text Mackenzie in college and I'll say, just thinking of you today. I love you. Took a picture of my Vanguard dad shirt. Wanted her to know I'm wearing it proudly. How far and wide this family is willing to love and care for others has been demonstrated time and time again in my journey at this church. I've seen it so many times. Difficult situations where division exists. Sides have been taken, and I watch as our board and our staff act in the opposite spirit and love the other. In the natural, you don't want to. But we've learned how to do that. In Matthew chapter 5, we read something. I want to read this to you because I feel like it's very relevant for landing the plane today. We're talking about living our best, my best life. I belong here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You know you've been taught an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to try to even to get even with a person who has done something to you. When someone slaps your right cheek, turn and let the person slap your other cheek. I hate that. If they slap me, I want to slap them right back. If someone sues you for your shirt, give up your coat as well. If a soldier forces you to carry his pack 1 kilometer, carry it 2 kilometers. Or in American terms, carry it 2 feet versus 1 foot. When people ask you for something, give it to them. When they want to borrow money, lend it to them. We won't talk about that. That's a whole different topic, but you get the idea. You've heard people say, love your neighbors, hate your enemies. I tell you to love your enemies and pray for anyone who mistreats you. Then you will be acting like the Father in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both good and bad people. He sends rain for the ones who do right and for the ones who do wrong. If you love only those who love you, who will God reward? I said, will God reward you for this? Even tax collectors love their friends. If you greet only your friends, what's so great about that? Don't even unbelievers do this? But listen to this last verse. But you must always act like your Father in heaven. What would happen if the family called Crosspoint continued to expand its capacity to love like the Father in heaven? If we look like everyone else looks, we treat everyone the same the way the world treats them, what attraction is there to the Church of Jesus Christ? When they begin to see how we love one another in the midst of crisis, the world will be attracted to you. When they see that, yeah, we've been hurt. Yeah, we've had things taken from us. We've had things stolen from us. And the list goes on. But if we can learn to operate out of an opposite spirit, the spirit of the kingdom, the spirit of the Father, I tell you this, my friend, There will be no room for people to come into a building like this or any other gathering in the name of Jesus when we love and act like the Father. I've seen the leadership of this house do this time and time again. No one necessarily knows how well they've loved others, but the scriptures say something about that. 1 Timothy 5, the sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not so obvious cannot remain hidden forever. There are many things that the spiritual authority, the fathers and mothers of the house, decisions have had to be made that you may never know about in dealing with the sins of people and the issues of life. But they won't always remain hidden. There are some things that will be seen in the natural that will affirm our position, that if we'll do what the Father tells us to do, He will honor our hearts and we'll see the harvest and we'll see the kingdom advance. I hope that made sense to you. Let me land this by talking about a group of people that were really like us in the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, we find the story of David's mighty men. Such a great story. Love this passage of scripture. You can look at it and read it up yourself. But what does it look like for us to function in the idea of, I belong in this house? What characterized the men that came into David's life, I believe it was about 30 men, that became David's band of brothers, if you will, was a few specific things, two in particular I want to release to you this morning. One, the reason that they were attracted to David in this passage of scripture, they've gathered in this cave called Adullam. They gave him Adullam. And David is on the run. Well, let me back up a little bit. So what was it that attracted these men to a cave with this man named David? There's two things. One, they were attracted to the person of David. Secondly, they were attracted and committed to his cause. I believe if we were to have been in the cave of Adullam with this ragtag group of men, you would have seen something that reflects the heart of family called Crosspoint. David at the time of this narrative was a fugitive. He was running from King Saul. He was an outcast, an outsider of the royal family, a misfit, if you will. And while fleeing the wrath of King Saul, David stumbled upon this group of bandits that didn't belong to anyone or anything, anybody. David befriends them and begins to love this group of misfits like his own family. Before long, those misfits are living for the one in whom has loved them so very well. These men were of diverse backgrounds. As you skim over the list, you'll find a variety of obscure places from which these men originated. Some, such as Uriah the Hittite, was a foreigner. None of them seemed to have anything noteworthy regarding their families or their hometowns. There were a lot of, they used the word hick towns involved. And I guess that's defined as a place where you can park as long as you want to, but you don't want to. That's a hick town. So there was one thing which united these men. They were all attracted to the person of David because he was a fellow misfit. He was their hero. He was a rallying point. And we find it in 2 Samuel 21, 15 through 17. David, who was getting older by this time, grew weary in the battle, was almost killed. But one of his mighty men slew the giant who almost killed David. David's men then told him that he would not go out to battle with them again, that you may not extinguish the lamp of Israel. Now, hang on to this because we're going to land it right here. They were men of diverse backgrounds. They were all drawn together because of their attraction to the lamp of Israel. Even so, though we in the church may be from various places, various educational backgrounds, economic, geographic, different kinds of family, even racial backgrounds, we can come together as one family, united, because we're attracted to the light of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. He is to be the centrality of the church.
If we can keep Jesus at the center of everything we do and learn to honor one another and be the church of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, San Diego is in for a shaking of God's glory. This motley crew gathered in a cave. They were men with problems, things in their past to overcome, secrets that nobody knew about. But here's the key. David accepted them and loved them. He loved them. And because he loved them, he trained them to become mighty fighting men. In the same way, the Lord Jesus does not require that you solve all your problems before you come to him. He accepts us in distress and in debt and discontent and molds us into a band of people, of believers that love one another and function as family and believe that together we can do something great for the cause of Christ. You can say that these misfits were willing to follow David because he loved them well and felt a sense of, I belong here with David. We knew that David was a type of Jesus and that Jesus loved us so well that he died for us. It should be no brainer that we too should love the misfits well. Those outside the borders of our church building and to create a culture of love that loves so well that the misfit, the outsider, the outcast feels they belong. This is how we can live out our best lives and proclaim to our current culture, I belong here. Where is here? A local congregation of misfits that want to love well and advance the cause of Jesus here on earth. I'm going to take you to a last slide, and I kind of got them backwards a little bit, but this one says, can the church, can the ecclesia become relevant? Can we bring revival and reformation to San Diego and California? Yes, I'll answer for you. And can we reach a generation that is currently apathetic and not interested in any kind of a church gathering? The answer is. Stand with me, please. Would you say this with me? I belong here. Every single one of you, and I'm convinced that not everyone that walks to our doors belongs in this family. That sounds strange. I used to think, no, everybody comes through. I believe every congregation, every gathering of saints has a mandate. We have determined what our mandate is. We believe with all of our hearts that God's given us direction. And not everyone's going to line up with that mandate and believe in that. But I love what God's doing through your lives. I love what God's doing in San Diego. I love what he's doing in this house called Cross Point. And this morning as we leave, I want to bless you. I want to pray that Holy Spirit would cause you to catch the idea that isolation never works. Being someone that lives in a silo will struggle to walk in your destiny with Christ. Why? Because we need one another to call out the greatness that we see in each other. We need to come alongside and say to a Mark and a Jess, we love you, we bless you, we thank you for what God's doing in your life. Mark, if I could be so brutally transparent and say, when I look at you and Jess and I see you involved in these different things outside the walls of Cross Point, my old man would go, that can't be. They've got to belong only to Cross Point. We laugh almost a nervous laugh, but that's the truth of most pastors and most churches in San Diego. And I can tell you honestly this morning, I look at you, I look at Jess, and I say, we bless you in Jesus' name. This family loves you. We love what you carry. We love what you're doing. We love the worship movement that's happening. We want to be in the middle of the worship movement. I'm telling you right now that the worship movement that's happening is going to be central to the move of God in San Diego. It's already happening, and we're not going to be at the tail. We're going to be right in the middle of it, you guys. And we bless that. It used to be if I didn't see somebody for 2 or 3 weeks, I'd be like, oh, you got to be here every week. Well, I love when you're here every week because it was a few weeks ago when there was hardly a chair in the place. I can't figure that out, so I don't try anymore. You know what we do? We love whoever shows up. And we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with every. If we had 1,000 people in the room, I promise you, Candy and I would worship the same way. Are you? You understand what we're saying? I belong here because I love this family. And we're not a perfect family. And you're not a perfect son or daughter. The moment you walk in the door, you messed everything up. Me too. Because we're all people that need the grace and the mercy of God to live our lives day in and day out. To honor the King, to love Jesus, to support one another. And when I can't support you the way I need to, there's got to be someone in this family that could come alongside of you and love you the way you need to be loved in that moment. All right, come on, give the Lord a hand clap. That's good. To you, Jesus. Father, I declare the word of the Lord over this family today. I thank you for the ecclesia. I pray, God, that you continue to give us revelation as to what the ecclesia looks like and how we can be a part. And I ask, Lord, this morning that as we continue to move forward with the dreams that you've given to this family, that, God, we would see those dreams come to fruition sooner rather than later. I honor every man and woman that calls us their home. I pray for those that are considering making this home, that would catch that belonging here. I could have given a list of 1, 2, 3, 4 of ways to belong. But God, that was not in my heart. My heart says the number one thing for you to belong is to feel loved and accepted as who you are. All the other stuff, well, we'll figure it out. I pray, Holy Spirit, as we leave today, we would sense your glory over our lives. Thank you for the healing, the touch of God on the family today. Thank you for the amazing expression of worship. And thank you for the time that we've had together. I bless and honor the family of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.